I'm Nancy Winder, and it's my privilege to serve Holden as the pastor. You should all have a copy of the Cranberry Hymnal, as well as a copy of this little sheet that has a couple things on it. The first thing you'll use on this sheet is the gospel acclamation just before the reading of the gospel, which is on sort of, well, it's the one that says gospel acclamation. And the rest of it is obvious for the great thanksgiving and the holy, 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 and Lamb of God. To find out more about how you receive communion at Holden, in the back of the book there is information about that, and I encourage you to take a look at it so that you know the procedures for receiving communion or receiving a blessing if you would rather. The offering tonight, all the some Sunday offerings go away from the village to support other ministries. And I think you were told about some of those at dinner tonight, but you can read more about them on the wall by the door back there. Have I forgotten anything? Our service begins tonight on page 94, which is in the beginning, the front of your hymnal, page 94. And we sort of skip around between columns, but you will follow it. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. We sing hymn 793.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that pursuing what you have promised, we may share your heavenly glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning the Lord God wakens my ear, to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. The one who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 116. I will teach you the refrain and I will sing the verses.
A reading from James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes the strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. See also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a force to set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our bodily parts as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, it sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine fig? No more can salt water yield fresh. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
It is my practice to pray at the beginning of my sermons, and I'd like to invite you to join me in that tonight. Back in the back of cover of your hymnal, back where the communion instructions are, there's a prayer called the Holden Prayer, and that's the prayer for the sermon tonight. You might want to remember that. We're going to do it again before the sermon's over. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God's grace and peace be with you this day and always. Amen. We often use the adjective clueless to describe ourselves and others, if we're honest. Whenever we feel like a fish out of water, when we just have no idea what is going on. In Mark's gospel, the disciples are described as clueless all the way through. And no one exhibits that better than Peter in our story tonight. Now, this text from Mark is a big turning point in the gospel. Jesus has been all over the place, proclaiming a new reign of God, healing people, and showing people bound to an old law a new freedom in grace. But from this story, Jesus is headed inexorably toward Jerusalem and the cross. He begins by wanting to find out who the disciples think he is. You'd think they might have a clue by this time. By Mark's chronology, it's been a couple years. They picked up and left their normal lives to follow this man into whatever adventures he had for them, looking to a future that they might imagine, yet hearing and seeing things of which they never could have dreamed. So Jesus asked them first about the gossip, the word on the street. What's everyone talking about? Who do people think that I am? And they have quite a list. John the Baptist, who has been beheaded by this time. Elijah, who was supposed to precede the Messiah, and just one of the prophets. Then Jesus asks them, but who do you say that I am? Peter is the one who proclaims you are the Messiah, and Jesus asks them to keep this news to themselves. Then Jesus says things a Messiah shouldn't say, and certainly not this friend that has walked with them over these many months. He says they're heading to Jerusalem and that he'll die. The fact that he also mentions that he'll be raised again seems to go right over their heads, but that makes sense, doesn't it? It's hard enough to hear that he'll die. The announcement of a resurrection is more than most humans can grasp. It still is. Now Peter, who so clearly proclaimed Jesus as Messiah, takes Jesus aside to scold him for saying he'll die. And Jesus turns right around and, in the hearing of the others, tells Peter that he is clueless about God's point of view. He's only looking at things from a human point of view, a perspective that is always clouded by the presence and influence of sin and evil. From here, Jesus says some important things about following him. If Peter is clueless, it's pretty sure that the others aren't far behind. So Jesus tells them that if they keep on going with him, it's a straight road to the cross. So they better pick theirs up and come along. And Jesus has strong words about what will happen here. He wants them to know that in doing that, they'll be denying themselves. But by following, they'll get to the place where they'll be restored to wholeness, to an integrity and sense of self they never could have imagined or dreamed. And the final outcome, the life that God brings from death, will be better news than John the Baptist or Elijah or any prophet could have brought them. Now, it's important to note that these clueless disciples had great courage as well. Not only did they keep going with Jesus, but when all was said and done, they showed up at the important parts. Even when Peter denies Jesus, he knows his folly immediately, and he's one of the first to look into the empty tomb. It is a remarkable thing that this whole gospel story is told showing the disciples with all their weaknesses. It would have been so easy as they were writing it down to clean it up, to make the disciples the great hero followers of Jesus, to make them examples that would be impossible to emulate. But they are reported as having the same weaknesses we have, the same human perspectives that trip us up, the same need for God's grace and forgiveness. And so the word Jesus brings his clueless disciples comes to us tonight as well. In our day, proclaiming Christ isn't an easy thing. This confession Peter makes is as fraught with misunderstanding as it has ever been. Following Jesus takes courage and a strong sense of adventure. Some will think you're truly clueless if you say you're a Christian. Others will think you have to behave in a certain way in order to be counted among the saved. But the good news from Jesus tonight is that the clueless are carried in courage. We are all called to follow to the cross, where God takes every part of the sin and weakness that burdens us and frees us to live as God's children in Christ's righteousness and as people gifted by the Spirit. If you were at Matins a couple days ago, Arnold told you this was huge. It is. The words of the Holden Prayer are a strong companion as we follow Jesus to the cross and as we follow Jesus in lives of grace and service. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the end, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is number 798. Please stand as you're
Let us join together in prayer. The response after each petition is "Hear our prayer." Lord of creation, with confidence in your abiding care, we are bold to pray for the world, the church, and all in need. for the whole church, that it continues to walk in your presence, holding high the cross, transforming lives by serving all in need. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
For a renewed awareness of the value you placed on creation in the beginning, that we may recover that holy goodness and practice good stewardship of land, earth, and ocean. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
For every land shattered by warfare, famine, injustice, and political oppression, that you raise up leaders who seek peace above personal gain and exercise authority in love. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
For all who need compassion, that there may be decent shelter, fulfilling work, nutritious food, suitable medicine, and hope for all children. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
For this village, that our hospitality, hilarity, and your grace will transform and sustain all who visit here. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
For what else do the people of God pray? Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet one another with a sign of peace. In 4, 6, 7, please stand as you are able. 4, 6, 7.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence, in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all those who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen. You're invited to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever language is most familiar and comforting for you. We pray for all things we need in the words Jesus taught us. This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all is prepared. Please stand as you are able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, in this meal you sustain the weary and heal the broken. May the gift of your word made flesh, the body and blood of Christ, inspire our tongues to praise you and proclaim to the entire world the Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Oh, the hymn. Sorry, I can't get used to the fact that we have bulletins. 674. 674.
Go in peace to serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.